Good morning. Hope you guys slept well. I know some of you guys were screaming, I think. There was a bug in my room, and I got bit last night, I think. So be careful, all right? Word of warning. This morning, or last night, what we talked about was Christ being our blessing, that our status as children of God, our security of all the things we have, and our significance is in Him, right? That's kind of the gospel. And so today I'm going to kind of press into that, okay? And I'm going to talk about something today that's actually very, like, uncomfortable, okay, for maybe a lot of us, maybe even for me, okay? I'm just gonna open up and share, okay? If I, like, step on anyone's toes, I'm sorry. I'll be gone in 2 days, okay? But I'm gonna, like, we'll see, okay? We'll see. I just have to confess, okay, when I moved, transitioned from this church to my current church, it was really tough, okay? It was really bad, okay? And I know, like, sometimes, like, you want to be polite, and when people ask, like, oh, you know, how's ministry now? You know, now that you're at a different church, like, how is it? And, you know, I wanted to say, like, oh, it's good, you know, like, you know, things are nice and stuff, but it was, like, terrible. Like, it was really hard. Before I even started there, I remember a girl came up to me. I didn't even know who she was. She came up to me and she's like, "Oh, hey, I heard you're gonna be like the new youth pastor at our church," and I was like, "Yeah, I guess so." And then she was like, "You know what? Yeah, like Danny, the youth pastor before you, like he was like really good, you know." And I was like, "All right." And she's like, "No, you don't understand, right? Like he was like the best youth pastor in Southern California, like." He's the best, right? And I was like, alright, like, I don't know what to say, it was so awkward. I was like, okay, you know, I'll just try to do my best. She's like, no, you have, like, really big shoes to fill, like, coming in, like, seriously. And I was like, okay, you know, like, it was so awkward. And then, it was because he served at that church for 7 years, okay? And before that, he served as a youth pastor for another 8 years at another church. So he's been doing youth ministry for a long time. And so when he left, so 2 years ago, he was in his mid-30s already. So he's like a seasoned veteran, right? And I was coming in, I was very young, and it was very different. And so it was a very difficult time, like the staff. So he left, his staff was there. They were like, who are you? You know, like, you're younger than all of us. I was literally the youngest person on staff. And they're like, who are you? And then all the students were like, dude, he does everything this way. Like, why are we going here? Why are you changing this? Like, why are you so different? Why are you not him? Essentially, right? And I was like, man, like, these people are giving me, like, such a hard time. And it was really rough, right? And seemingly, I was like, man, like, I didn't want to, like, play this card, but I was like, man, like, you know, they're giving me such a difficult time, and I didn't even really do anything to them. Like, I'm not hurting them, I'm not, like, sinning against them, I'm not, like, causing trouble, I'm trying to do a good job, but it's just so difficult, and I realized, like, later on, like, now, looking back, right, looking back 2020, now I see that they were, when he left, they were in, like, a lot of hurt. Like, they were, like, mourning, okay? And you know that phrase that we all hear, it's like, it's so true, right? Hurt people, right? It's so true. And they were mourning, they don't want to talk about it, but because I was just that new dude coming in, they just kind of was like, dude, you're the reason, like, why are you here, right? You're the problem, kind of, and it was so difficult, right? And a little bit later on, settling in at the church, so I'm a young adult in the church ministry, and so I have peers, right? And so one of my friends, a lot of people do this at my church. You know, like, I don't want to talk too much about this, but there's something called Coffee Meets Bagel, okay? It's like a dating app, okay? You don't need to know this, okay? But it's a dating app, and so my friends, they're on it, okay? You can, like, create a profile or whatever. They meet people, they, like, you know, kind of date, see each other, and then sometimes they even, like, invite them to our church, like, when they're, like, ready, kind of. And so one time this guy brought this girl to our church, and then she was cool, and then that girl brought another friend, okay? And that girl who came in, she was like, immediately we knew, like, dude, this girl's totally different. Like, we're a pretty conservative church. Like, we, like, you know, when we're, like, really into it for praise, like, maybe like this, right? Like, oh, right here, right? And so that's, it's, yeah, it's just keeping it, like, you know, right here. But this girl was like, she's like all over, right? She's like dancing in the front row, like hopping around, like in circles, like seriously. And that's cool. Like I'm all for that, but very different. Not just in the way she worships, but her theology. Like, so she would share with us, like, I was in her, like, we're in the same cell group, and she's like, we're like, okay, you know, like, introduce yourself, right? So go around, say something interesting about yourself, right? And she's like, okay, my name is Laura, right? It's okay, you guys will never meet her. Oh, my name is Laura, right? And this one interesting thing about myself is when people pray, I can hear everyone's prayers. So, like, I know what you're thinking. I know what you're praying. Like, when you confess a sin, I hear exactly what you're talking about with God. And I was like, okay, like, is this biblical? I don't know, right? I'm, like, thinking about verses. I'm like, oh, I don't know. So, it was, she's, like, causing a huge, like, stir, right? And all the, it's so sad to say, but when she came to our cell group, all the girls in our cell group, like, left. Like, they're all like, like, you know, this girl is, like, too much. Like, she's like, we're just sharing, like, oh, you know, one interesting fact about me is, oh, I'm Chinese, you guys are all Korean, haha, right? And she's like, oh, I can hear your prayers, right? And then we're like, okay, like, this is weird, right? So, it was so difficult. And, you know, I didn't realize, that it would be so difficult. And I think I always grew up thinking, you know, in church, it should be cool. Like, we should have each other's back in here. But outside of the church, like, that's when the problems come. But that's not always true. It's so sad to say, but sometimes it's the people in here. Like, the people in this room, the people in the other building, the Chinese side, you know, I understand it's kind of difficult sometimes. Sometimes it's the people within the church that causes us the most grief, the most heartache, the most stress, the most difficulty. And it's so sad to say, but that's true. And so what I want to talk about today is, I want to talk about reconciliation. Okay, I want to talk about peacemaking. It's a very awkward thing to talk about, but I'm going to try to touch upon it. And, you know, even as for you students, I know you guys are like, oh, like, I have friends here. Like, it's cool, you know? Like we get along, we're friends, we play cards together, we listen to the same music, whatever, we're okay. But okay, I've been at this church for, like, what, 20-something years growing up, and I'm just going to say it, okay? I've seen so many people leave the church. People who love God at one point leave the church because, not because of necessarily, oh, they study the Bible and their theology is different now. It's not usually that. It's, I'm going to leave the church, and in fact, I'm going to turn my back, and this is what I'm going to turn my back on God because of this person. Because of my relationship with this person, it's gone south. Something, there's conflict, and there's sin, and there's hurt, and there's pain. And so, you know what? Forget the church. And when it gets really sad, forget God. I'm done with this. Everyone's a hypocrite. Forget this. I'm over it. And my prayer for you guys here is, even if there's no conflict right now, okay, with your friends, there's gonna be. There's guaranteed going to be conflict with maybe not your friends at church, but someone at church. Someone who comes to your youth group, someone in your small group, someone in this congregation, someone on the Chinese side. It could be leadership, okay? There's going to be conflict. It could be anything. So how do we reconcile that? When we face conflict, when we face differences, what are we supposed to do? Right? And so, if you guys have your Bibles, please turn with me. We're going to be in the book of Ephesians, and I'm going to try to address this. Okay, I'm going to try to answer this question. How can the church, how can community be united? How can we be reconciled? And so, we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 1, introduction, he talks about you're blessed in Christ, and he gives thanksgiving to the church. Now we're in chapter 2. At the beginning of Ephesians 2, it's like that famous, super famous section, Ephesians 2, 8 to 9, we're saved by grace through faith, right? Kind of reiterating the gospel. The gospel is true. Christ is real in your life. You have a relationship with him. And then we go to the next section immediately. And it's so funny because right after that, it's not just you and your relationship with God, but if that is established and you have a relationship with Christ, that drastically affects your relationships with one another. It has to. It has to. If it doesn't, something is wrong. Either this is not real, or this is not happening. You know, the gospel is not being applied correctly. And so we're going to start in verse 11, okay? And we're going to go through this section. And it's talking about being one in Christ. I'll start with, just verse 11. Therefore, remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision, by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Okay, I'm just going to pause right here real quick. What's happening in the Ephesian church is Paul is saying, okay, Christ is real. You understand the gospel. You know, okay, Jesus died on the cross for my sins. Okay, we all know that. He's saying we all get it. But there is a problem in this church in Ephesus. And he's saying there is a divide. There is a barrier in the way. There is conflict, differences. On one hand, we have what? The Gentiles. Who are they? They're the Jewish people. They're the chosen people of God. They believe in something called the circumcision. Okay? Ask your parents. Ask Pastor Jay later. Specific, if you want to know details. Okay? Circumcision. Okay? They believe in having that. But on the other hand, Jews believe in that. Excuse me. Gentiles, on the other hand, they are non-Jews. They're not the people, chosen people of God. So Jews, circumcision. You have to be circumcised. Gentiles, uncircumcision. It's okay. Right? We don't believe in that. We don't have to. It's just Christ. And so the barrier now, the kind of the conflict in the early church is, so what should we do? Circumcision or uncircumcision? This is what we disagree on. This is a barrier. And Paul is saying right from the beginning, he's saying that even though this is a barrier that separates you from each other, this has been addressed in some sense by God, right? It has been addressed by God. And so for us, okay, circumcision, uncircumcision, I'm willing to bet money that none of you guys have ever, like, debated with your friends about this, right? You're not like, oh, come on, man, like, circumcision, or what are you, okay, it's really weird, right? So none of us debate about this, okay, we don't want to talk about it, it's gross, okay, whatever. But I think there are other barriers, other conflicts, other differences that we do face that actually occur in church, things we get stressed out about. And so, I know even for me, okay, we're all different, okay? I'm willing to admit, I like certain pastors a little bit more than, I like certain styles of preaching a little bit more than others. I like certain songs. I like worship to be a certain way, okay? And I'm sure you do too. And we might agree, we might disagree, okay? But we're different. We think differently about ministry, about church, how things should look. And it's sad because, in some sense, because we're not fighting over doctrine. We're not saying, you know, oh, because of this verse, you know, we disagree on this one verse. It's not usually that. It's just, no, we believe in this, but how doctrine is played out, we kind of disagree, right? We believe in Jesus. He wants to save us. God wants to save us. He has a plan for all of us, yeah? But in the, what does it look like then? Like, what programs are we going to have? Who's going to lead this? What is the schedule going to look like? We disagree on all those other things. And it creates conflict. And it creates barriers between us and other people in the church. And that's very real, and that's true. And when those moments happen, and it does, and it will, barriers are made, okay? And it separates us. And so, what do we do when a barrier is in the way, okay? Just a few things, okay? Asians, okay? We deal with problems, like conflict, in a very interesting way. Okay, there's three, like, just very traditional ways you could think about it. Just very, we all know these. Okay, number one, like, just aggressive. Okay, you're just like, dude, what is this, right? And some people are like, these are the people who are like, you know what? I keep it real. You know, I speak my mind, right? When something happens, I'm just gonna say it. And those people are very aggressive, and for good or for bad, but they're just like, you know, this is a problem. Hey, what's going on here? And in Asian culture, that's actually minority of people, okay? There's a few people, you know, who are a little bit more fiery, but, you know, for the most part, they're pretty rare, okay? They're just straight aggressive. And then we have the on the other end of the spectrum, just a passive, okay? This is, I think, Asians more kind of like this kind of stuff, okay? It's the passive, like, oh, there's a problem? Oh, right? Like, oh, you know? Like, oh, there's a problem? Okay, I'm just gonna, like, go to this other church now or this other ministry. I'm just gonna kind of, like, fly away, right? Steer clear, right?
Tell everyone else.
Exactly, right? So that's what it looks like. So we have aggressive. Well, what is this? Passive. And then, you know, as many... Okay, there's so many Asians, I think, who are passive. But I think maybe the largest chunk is the mix of the two, the passive-aggressive. I think that's the embodiment of, like, a typical Asian, like, mindset, okay? And this is, like, who I am. Okay, let me explain. Passive-aggressive is, like, you act like passive. You're like, oh, everything, oh, I don't even know. I didn't even notice that. Oh, I forgot, actually. What was there really a problem? Like, you're acting like everything's cool, but, like, inside, your heart... The disposition of your heart, your thoughts, you're really aggressive. Like, it looks like this. Okay, I do this, that's so I can explain. It looks like this. I talk to Jessica or like a mentor, and when I talk about a situation, I'm like crazy. Like, I talk about it like I'm gonna do something crazy. I'm like, can you believe? You know, can you believe what this person said? They did this and this and this. And then they're like, whoa, calm down. Like, I don't want you to do anything crazy. And I'm like, don't worry. I just talk, right? I just have to vent it out. But in reality, I'm like, what? Like, dude, everything's cool, right? And so passive aggressive, it looks like you're kind of, because there's something bothering you, and you don't want to express it to them, right? You want to be like, oh, civil and polite. Oh, I'm Asian, you know, oh. You want to be civil and polite. And so you make these like kind of like little slights at them, right? And you kind of get them. And I do this, and like sometimes I joke at them, right? And I'm like, oh, haha, yeah, you never do that. You never show up on time, right? Haha, right? And it's kind of like, oh, I'm just joking. It's not a big deal, but it's kind of like, oh, but I still got you, right? I'm just kind of bringing this up so you see this again, right? And so there's different ways. We there's these barriers, and we kind of come at it, and we react in different ways. But I'm also... I've been noticing another thing that happens, okay? Even though we see a problem and we react differently, it's very interesting, but even after people blow up, so the aggressive person, what is this? Okay? Even though someone blows up or someone wants to, oh, you know, sweep it under the rug or aggressive, passive aggressive, whatever they are, still I think a lot of times what happens is people don't truly address the issue. The real issue, the real problem. You might blow up, it might make you feel good. Oh, you kind of release your anger, okay? Or you're passive and you're kind of harboring it underneath, and you might say a few things to a few people or whatever, but still a lot of the times, you talk about things in a civil way, but the true issue is not addressed. At the end of the day, you can do all this stuff, and at the end of the day, still avoid the real problem. Okay, it's totally possible to do that. And so there are these problems we handle in different ways, and oftentimes I would say even if we react, we still avoid. So let's look at how Christ deals with these things, right? How does he deal with barriers, problems? What does he do when there are differences and issues are made? Let's continue in verses 13 to 16, okay? This is what Christ does. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Verse 14, for he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. Do you see the picture here? There's kind of two barriers going on, right? It's the barrier between us and one another, other people in church, and then there's also a barrier between us and God, okay? And so what Jesus is saying here is, through his blood, through what he's been doing, he's abolished the dividing wall of hostility, okay? Between us and God, we were once far away, now we're brought near, and also the barrier between us and one another. So we're no longer two different people, two different ideas, but one new person brought forth in him, right? That's kind of the picture of what we have. And it gets a little bit confusing, and I don't want to get like too into this, but he says in verse 15, by abolishing, this is what Jesus does. He broke down the barrier by abolishing the law of commandments. Okay? And, you know, it's confusing because in Matthew 5, it almost sounds like he said the exact opposite. Right? Jesus says, I have not come to what? Abolish the law, but to fulfill it. And then Jesus said, oh, I broke down the barrier. You know what I did? I, like, abolished the law. Right? I did not come to abolish the law, Matthew 5. Right here, I have come to abolish the law. So we're like, what? Like, what is exactly happening? And I think the word abolish here, a better picture is not just explode, like, oh, this is meaningless. I think what he's saying is he has defanged the law. He's taken the fangs out. Okay? So in other words, the law doesn't have power over you. It has meaning, right? God's word has meaning, has truth, but it doesn't have power over you. It should not be a barrier. And I think the way he actually abolished the law, and the way he's talking about, is he abolished the law by fulfilling the law. Okay? And I want to talk about this a little bit, okay? There's two ways to fulfill the law of God. There's two ways, okay? And I think this is important for us to understand reconciliation peace. There's two ways to fulfill the law of God. Number one, okay, the first option you have, obey the law. Let me explain. So if you're driving in like freeways on Chicago, like the highways, the speed limit is like 55 in a lot of places, okay, in Illinois, that area. It's 55, okay? And so the first option you have to fulfill the law, obey it. So in keeping with the law, you just have to what? Drive under the speed limit. If it's 55, you drive under 55 and you're good to go. Option number one. Option number two is not obeying the law, but breaking the law and paying for it. You're still observing the law. So, for example, hypothetically, actually, this actually happened, but last year, I was driving in Chicago with, we went there for like a service trip with my like youth students, okay? So I'm driving a van. And I'm driving, and 55, come on, right? It's like so slow. And so I'm used to like California, well, like, what do we do? Like 70 something, right? Easily. And so I'm driving, and I get pulled over. I get a ticket, okay? And it's complicated. You have to fill out all this stuff. You have to give them money. It was like $400, okay? $400. And so now what do I do? In order to keep the law, I can still keep the law. Although if I break it, it's very simple. You just have to pay for it. There's a fine. So you broke the law, $400, now you're going to be in good standing again, right? Once you pay this off, you're good to go, right? And my church was nice enough to say, like, okay, like, you're new, you have no money, okay? So we'll just cover you, right? We'll just cover the $400, like we'll let you off the hook, and I'm so thankful for that. But that's the kind of the picture we have, right? And that's what Christ is saying. When he kind of breaks these barriers down, when he fulfills the law for us, he abolishes the law, what he is doing is, see, we're unable to obey, not the law of Illinois or Chicago, the law of God, we're unable to keep. Option number one, obey the law, that's out the window for us, okay? So now we're in option number two. We break his law, and we have to pay for it. But the problem is, the same problem as what I had, we don't have enough money, we don't have enough credit to pay for it. And so Christ makes the payment on our behalf. Okay, do you see that? That's what it looks like to be in good standing, to be in good relationship with one another. And so what does that kind of mean for us? What that means for us is, see, if, and I think this has a lot to say about how we have peace with one another, reconciliation, forgiveness. Forgiveness looks like letting the person go, and that person, however that person hurts you or whatever difference that person has with you, instead of making that person pay for it, oh, now you owe me, right? The idea of payback. Now you have to pay me back. Instead of thinking like that, forgiveness is being able to let them go and saying, you know what? Instead of me forcing you to pay me back what you owe me, the pain, the hurt, the time, all the arguing, instead of making you pay it back to me, I'll pay the debt. Someone else will pay the debt. That's what forgiveness looks like, right? And it's not easy, it's tough, but that's what reconciliation, breaking down walls of hostility, breaking down barriers, that's what it takes to be in good standing again. When someone breaks the law of Chris Lee, I feel like they owe me, right? look what you did to me. You owe me, though. And I'm going to hold on to that. I'm going to harbor bitterness, and I'm going to hold grudges until you pay me back. Or, like Christ, I can say, you know what? Even though you hurt me, and you owe me, you do owe me, and that was real, instead of you making that payment, I can make that payment. And I can just take that pain. And as I do that, that's looking like Christ. That's an opportunity for me to look and do what Christ has done for me and show me grace and forgiveness and mercy and kindness and patience. Not easy to do, but that's what it looks like. And I think that's so helpful for us. That's what it says in verses 17 and 18, right? He came and preached peace to you who are far off and peace to those who are near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. That's what it looks like. We have to... How Christ breaks barriers gives us a picture of how we ought to address barriers. Do you see that? Instead of avoiding it, we're called to address it. And he continues on, verses 19 to 22. I'll just go all the way to the end for us. Verse 19, so you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in which the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him, you also are being built together into the dwelling place for God by the Spirit. Right? And you might be thinking, like, at this point, you know, okay, even though this, there's a problem with this person, okay, this person at church, maybe you've tried to address it. Maybe you're like, okay, you know what? I've been trying to be patient. I've been trying to live like Christ. I've been trying to be good. I'm trying to do this. We talk about it. And you're like, okay, you muster enough courage to actually talk about it and bring it up and say, hey, when you did this, it hurt me. I didn't like that. I didn't think that was right. It was painful for me. Even if you do that, what if at the end of the day, hey, I like this a certain way. I like that a certain way. What if you have enough courage to address it and not avoid it? But when you kind of talk it out, still, you disagree. What do you do then? Right? Because this is the problem. Like, hey, I'm trying to keep in line with the Bible. I'm trying to be a good Christian. I'm trying to do things right. But still, we talk about it in a civil way, grace and truth, grace and love, all this stuff. But still, we disagree. What should we do? And I think this section tells us that the goal of Christ bringing peace to us, in some sense, isn't just so that we can have peace. That's not the end goal. Do you see what I'm saying? Peace is a byproduct. He wants us to have peace, but that's not the ultimate goal. He doesn't want us to just hold hands and sing kumbaya. That's not like, oh yes, if we all were friends and we all like each other, then yay, right? Yeah, we're good Christians now. No. What Paul is saying is, no. You need to address these things. You need to be good with one another because there's a greater goal. The reason why these barriers are breaking down is so you can be built up. So that you can be built up together in Christ, in the Lord. That's what it says in this final section, right? The goal is we need to look like the church. We need to reflect Christ. And the goal is Him. He is the goal. And hopefully even when you come to another brother and sister and you're like, you know what? We disagree so much. And you're unwilling to change. And maybe I'm unwilling to change. You were raised a certain way. I was raised a certain way. Hopefully we're able to say at the end of the day, but you know what? Even though we disagree, there's so much more we agree on. There's so much more we agree on. We believe in so many more things. We have so much more in common. And so let's start back there. Let's start there. Christ wants to save people at our church. Let's start here. We agree 100% on this. Let's go from here. Okay, now tell me what you think. And now I'll tell you what I think. I think this is a much better picture of peace, right? And see, in this section, another very interesting thing is, in verse 14, it says, Jesus Christ, what? Our peace. God doesn't give us peace. He is our peace. Our relationship with Him, and only through that, that's the only way we're able to reconcile. Not just with God, but one another. That's the only way. He is our peace. And if you're not walking with him and abiding in him, it's going to be impossible, right? So, see, if you're a good Christian and that person doesn't really care, do you know how hard it is for you guys to reconcile? We're talking about believers right here who know Christ, who have Christ. If he is our peace, peace isn't something we need to create, but rather just seek to maintain. Maintaining unity, right? That's what Paul talks about. You don't have to create unity, we're maintaining it. We both have peace. We both have Christ. We both have this, and so we're just called to maintain it. And doing this is awkward, and addressing these things, it's awkward and it's hard, but I think it's so vital for you to not only walk with each other and have good relationships with EM and Chinese, but also with God, right? It all kind of, it spills over if it doesn't work out well. And so this year, I've actually been weirdly on both ends of reconciliation, right? I had a friend in college. We kind of got along, not really, but he would just like blow up at me sometimes. Like we share rooms, okay? And this was like the dumbest thing ever, but we had two rooms in our house in Riverside. One room was like the study room, okay? So we just put two desks in there. And then the other room was like the bedroom. We just put two beds in there. It's so weird, okay? It's like marriage, right? And so it was like that, and we would fight all the time, okay? It would be awkward because we would argue, and then we couldn't go to our own rooms. We just like went into the same room and slept next to each other, and then woke up, and then it's like weird, right? We're just with each other the whole time, and so we didn't really get along. And I had a friend group, and he was kind of in the group too, okay? But eventually, you know, like if... It's complicated, right? Relationships, friend groups. It's like, if one of my friends doesn't get along with him, okay, now it's like, okay, who do we take, right? Who should we advance with, this guy or this guy? And what happened was, we're kind of like, oh, what do you guys think of this guy? Like, oh, like, let's just, you know, just stay like this, okay? So he kind of got booted, and he had to find another friend group, and then we just kind of became a thing, okay, and moved forward. And I'm not saying this is good, but this is just real, right? This is what happens sometimes. And so recently I got to meet up with him again, and he just messaged me, and he's like, hey, are you free? We're both in Orange County, like, let's meet up, right? Like, BCD, right? Tofu. I was like, all right, I'm down, right? So we went there, we're eating, and this wasn't because I was spiritual or anything. I wasn't even thinking about this, but as I was just looking at him, I felt so bad, because like, he wasn't even that bad to us. He didn't really do anything like too horrible to me. At the end of the day, it was kind of him and another friend we had, and we just kind of like moved on. We're like, you know what, we're gonna close off this group and kind of like, you know, like push you, nudge you out. And we're just eating, and I was like, hey, Mike, like, dude, this is like so awkward, but I was such a bad friend to you. Like, my group of friends, we were so bad to you. I'm so sorry, like, and I know this might not mean much to you at all, and it's been like, what, 5-6 years since college? It's so weird for, like, I just have to say, like, I just have to clear the air. Dude, we're so bad to you, I'm so sorry. Like, we hung out without you, we, like, planned this trip without you. I know, like, you felt really sad about that. Like, dude, I'm so sorry. Like, we were messed up. And then I was like, and I was looking at him, and he didn't say anything. And I was like, oh gosh, right? And I was like, all right, just eat tofu, right? Just, you know, do my thing. Like, oh, I shouldn't have said it. And then he's like, dude, Chris, like, thank you for saying that. Like, it hurt me like crazy. And, you know, like when we see each other and we hang out in group settings, we don't talk about it because we don't want to go there. So we're just kind of like, oh, hey, you know, like just catching up, like very cordial. And okay, that's that. Go home. But he's like, dude, like, I thought you guys were gonna be like my closest friends. Like, that's what I thought, like going into it. And then it didn't work out like that. And he's like, I know, like, it's not just you guys. I know, like, I wasn't the easiest person. Like, I was immature, whatever. And we kind of shared this back and forth, and we kind of realized, you know what? Like, it's tough. It's awkward. Yes. But we addressed it. We tried to address it, and we're both in healthier places. We're both going to church. We're both walking with God, and we're both able to realize, you know what, that was when we were a little bit more immature, and we can move past this. It's actually something good. We can build on this, right? Now our relationship can actually build and move forward, right? And that's what it looks like, right? And so things need to be breaking down for things to be built, right? Demolition has to come before construction, It has to be in that order, right? We have this super buff guy at our church. He is, he's like kind of short and stocky, but he's like, I think like 200 pounds. He's actually the strongest person for his age in the world, I think. Okay, he breaks his own world records. He's like Michael Phelps or something, right? Usain Bolt, right? He's just breaking his own records now. So he competes. He lifts like 700 pounds, like 800 pounds. The bar is like bending and stuff. He's like, he's crazy, right? And so he always teaches people. He trains people. He always tells people this. When you lift, you have to push yourself as much as you can, as much as you can. If you're not sore, you're not doing something, right? And he's always trying to max out his numbers. More, 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 right? Higher, higher, higher. And his whole thing, and I don't know anything about this, obviously, like weightlifting, I don't know anything, right? But he's like, this is how muscles work. You have to break it down for it to be built back up. It has to tear. It has to rip. And then it builds up to be stronger. And that's the picture of the church. Things need to be broken down. And that process is painful and awkward. But that's also the only way for us to move forward and grow and to be built up. So it wasn't just that conversation with my friend, right? Last week, so random, last week, this one person on my team, from the missions team, China team, long, long time ago, we went to China like 5 years ago, okay? I haven't like spoken to this person since. Messages me out of the blue and is like, hey, do you have some time to get coffee? Like, can we meet up? And I'm like, okay, like, it's kind of scary as, like, if you're in ministry, you have no idea what, like, people want to talk to you about, okay? So you're going in blind. And so I'm like, okay, you know, and so we meet up, and we sit down, and that person comes up to me and says, hey, like, someone was talking about our trip, and I was thinking about our trip, I was looking at our photos, our videos, all this stuff, and I realized that I hurt you. I was really messed up to you on our trip. When we went to Beijing, when we went to China, the way I was like treating you, the way I was talking to you, I didn't like you. I didn't get along with you. And I was like, dude, I didn't even notice. I was like, what? Like, I literally had no idea. I was like, oh, really? Like, oh, I didn't know that you felt so badly. Like, and this person was like crying. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, I have no idea. And then I started thinking, she was like talking about like, oh, remember that time we were here in this place? Like, I did this. And I was like, oh yeah, I have bad memory. I was like, oh, I don't even really, and as she was talking and sharing, I was thinking about the trip and I was like, oh, like, I was starting to remember. Okay. And I was like, oh man. And she felt so bad. And as I was reflecting on that time, I was also thinking like, I guess God was like bringing into my mind like, remember this time? And I started thinking about the times when not just she kind of hurt me or treated me badly, but I would react back towards her in maybe like a passive aggressive way, right? I would react towards her and I was like, oh, you know what? Oh, I do remember that one time we were teaching. I'm sorry too. Like, I'm not this like holy saint who is perfect and handled everything perfectly. I'm not like that either. And it kind of felt suiting for us to kind of almost laugh it off. And we're saying like, you know what, man, we're so immature and we're growing and it's hard for us and that's what it looks like. But we're able to also in our friendship build and grow from that as well. And so reconciliation, having peace with each other, it's hard. It's awkward. It's something we want to avoid. We don't always like to deal with conflict. We'd always handle it perfectly. And all of us have messed up in the past, okay? And I'm here confessing oftentimes the reasons that I do have barriers with other people and that I do have barriers with God is not because of them. It's because of me. It's because of my sin and how I didn't handle things well and how I was immature and not thinking straight and insecure and scared and not handling things properly. And oftentimes the barriers in our lives, in our relationships, are from ourselves. But Christ, our peace, He came to destroy that. He came to tear those things down, not just with each other, but with God. And so my prayer for us is really, when you do face things, and you will, handle it well. Don't avoid, address it. Have the confidence to address it. You don't have to, the pressure isn't on you to make peace. We have peace. We have Christ, who is our peace. We have that. Our goal is to maintain. And it's not that we always end on the perfect note and we're best friends and kumbaya. That's not the goal. The goal is for us to be built up in Christ. For us to, even when we disagree, to realize, you know what? Although we disagree, there's so much more. We have Christ. We agree on this. There's so much more common ground. So let's start here and let's advance. And right now, you know, I'm always going to do this every session, and so could I just lead us in like two quick prayer topics? I just want us to reflect a little bit and think. And so if you could bow your heads with me, and I'm going to talk about two things very briefly. The first thing is, think about the relationships you have with people at church. Maybe in this room, maybe it's some people who didn't come, maybe it's people from the past, people who went to our church but no longer come here. Maybe it's people in the Chinese congregation, leadership, I don't know. Whoever it is, think about these relationships. Are you still holding bitterness? Are you still holding grudges? Are you still hurting from maybe something they've done towards you? Maybe they've offended, maybe they've broken the law of you, and you feel like, man, they owe me. They hurt me, they took this away from me. And maybe you feel like, man, it's hard for you to just let that go. Maybe you're avoiding something, a conflict right now. Whoever that person is, that individual, whatever that relationship looks like, before we advance and pray for the second thing, can we spend some time identifying those people, maybe by name, and spending a quick few, like a minute or so, just lifting them up in prayer. And I think what happens is when we pray for people and try to bless them in that way, it's hard for us to harbor bitterness and hurt and hold them captive still. And so why don't we take a moment to actually lift up those people we're having a hard time with in church, in our community, maybe from the past, for whatever reason. Why don't we spend some time lifting up a prayer for them, that God is still working in their lives, that God still blesses them, that God is still drawing them and maturing them and shaping and molding them. Let's spend a minute doing that. And the second topic I want us to spend some time praying about is, you know, is there someone in the church, someone who is also a Christian, who maybe you have forgiven? Maybe there's something that they've done against you. Maybe you messed up. I don't know. It could go both ways. But maybe there's something there. And maybe it's already been resolved, and you feel like, you know what? I already forgiven that person. I already let it go. You know, but the difficult thing about forgiveness is you have to forgive people sometimes just over and over and over again for the same pain, the same hurt, the same situation, because it comes back. Those thoughts, those bitter thoughts, those feelings, it comes back and it settles in our heart. And maybe you've already dealt with it, and you feel like, man, I already moved on from this. But maybe it's still there. Maybe there's still some residue there. And what you need to do is forgive again. And say, God, I thought I already dealt with this, but I need to ask again. I need to deal with this again. And for others of us who are in this room, maybe there's a conflict right now with someone. Maybe there's a barrier between you and someone, and it's awkward, and you've never talked about it, and you're cordial and you're polite, but maybe there is something with someone else in our church or in the faith. What it looks like typically is both sides have committed wrong. We both mess up. That's what it looks like. And the beautiful thing about being a Christian and reconciling is we don't have to demand each other for payback in payment. We can both look at Christ. We can both look at the cross and say, even though there's hurt on both sides, Christ is taking that for the both of us. And maybe what we need to do is just reflect on that truth and think about the common ground we have in Christ. And so why don't we take a few moments to maybe forgive again and ask God to help us to forgive. Maybe we need to do that. Or maybe it's someone we need to forgive right now and reconcile with. Maybe there's a conflict, differences we need to address. Maybe we can ask God for the wisdom, the grace, the love to do so. And think about Christ and what he's done for us, that he gives us the ability to address and talk about these things, as difficult as it is. And so why don't we spend a minute praying for this?